Blog Talk Radio.
This is your host, Tamara L. Thank you for tuning in on State of the Nationals for a special episode with Abdullah L. Talib Mosey Bey, whom we'll be voicing from Philadelphia jurisdiction, who will discuss May Day, May Day, the crops are coming. Now, before we get started, one must understand, and overstand that all holidays are based in astronomy and agriculture, such as Christmas, New Year's, 4th of July, Easter, as well as May Day, May the 1st, today. This evening's special episode, Brother Abdullah L. Talib Mosey Bey will demystify the spookism behind May the 1st and place this event in its true agricultural perspective. Now, with that being said, let's just go ahead and bring on Abdullah L. Talib Mosey Bey. Good evening, Abdullah L. Talib Mosey Bey.
Good evening, good evening. Thanks for having
me. Thank you. Yes, thank you for accepting the special invitation this evening to speak to the Nationals. I know we normally speak on Thursdays at 9 p.m., but we wanted to make this a special event considering today and just wanted to shine some light on the actual meaning of May Day. Now, I know everyone that's within the conscious circle a note of Abdullah L. Talib Mosey Bey. Now, if you would, let's just go ahead and give them a little bit more background about yourself.
Wow. I mean, you know, I am the founder of the Amor Civil Letter, which I established in 1995. I've worked with Tashvi Bey for many years. I met him in 1993. You know, I'm also currently a member of the United Republic of Morocco. Also and co-teacher of the 10-week law course and founder of the Masonic Gate and author of Moors and Macy and Etymology and Vocabulary and a few other books.
Well, yes, don't be shy.
It's expensive, though, but, you know.
That's great. That's great. Thank you for the work you have done, you're still doing, and will continue to do. But this evening, I know we wanted to have this special topic so we can talk about May Day. Now, what is May Day?
Yes. Well, you have May Day is the you have the mid seasons. There are four mid seasons, and March, May the 1st. Is the mid-season between summer and spring. From May through July, you have a huge growth in crops. So this, what we want to do is get the people's mind back to agriculture. And so what I wanted to do is put May Day in a broader perspective leading up to May Day. And those are and I spoke of this Groundhog Day and the concept of the shadow. And most people, you know, even before I started speaking on it, were not aware of, you know, the importance of Groundhog Day. Now, and I'm going to connect it to May Day. Now, you have the concept of the groundhog seeing his or her shadow or not seeing her shadow. The shadow is the length of the shadow spring is near. So you look at the length of the shadow. So the spring is near, and then so spring representing the budding of, you know, crops and flowers. You know, but now you're getting into May Day was actually now you have an upspring. So you're looking at the budding, a slow budding of crops and flowers, and you now have this massive growth, you know, between, as I said, May and through July. So this is in century May Day. It's connected, it's so tied to, so there were mid-season markers, you know, to calculate, as I'm saying here, you know, the growth of crops, you know, tying to the fertility, and then you also have the concept of the harvest. So so agriculture, because we go to grocery stores and we don't grow our own food. So this is not really connect, you know, though it's in our cellular memory, it's not at the forefront of the consciousness because this is not what we do. We go to grocery stores, you know, whereas before we were agrarians, you know, huge agricultural societies. So there's so by necessity was the knowledge of agriculture, though that knowledge of agriculture is relegated to a few, as is you have farmers and astronomers, right? So that is essentially what May Day is.
Now, in different cultures throughout ancient time past of celebration, they celebrate May the 1st, and they have different festivals. Now, one of the festivals, as time went forward from Kemet, let's just say the Druids and Celtics, the festival's names changed to Belchin, like the circle of fire, which represents fire. Now, what is Belchin in relationship to May Day? How does that relationship tie in together?
All right. So Belchin, and the origin, the verb, the root is Bel, B-E-L, which was called a solar deity. So what it ties into May Day is that you have the increasing of the sun. The sun is being strengthened. You know, in Palm Sunday or palm trees, and why palm trees are used. Palm trees are used because strong and represent the strength of the sun. The days, you know, starting with December 25th. Is for the birth of Jesus or the birth of the sun. And at that point, every 10 days, every 7 days, the days will get longer by 10 degrees. So there is an increase in the sun's energy, all right? And the sun's rays every 7 days, and that continues. So now you have, you know, the Lent, where you have the days are getting lengthened. The word Lent is shortened for lengthen. So the days are getting lengthened, you know, incrementally. So you have this huge increase of the sun's energy bursting onto the agriculture, onto the crops and flowers. So Bel is a solar deity. Now, however, Bel supplanted Bridget or Bride. The word bride is derived from Bridget. So Bridget is the solar deity. So there are, now we it's been, there's scholars who write that the sun is personified, they use the male to personify the sun and females to personify the moon. Now, that is not true anciently.
Okay.
The sun was also like the moon, the sun was also personified by a woman. There, so you want, if you're going back 10,000 years, you have the solar deities were personified were females. So Bridget being a solar deity, Bel supplanted that. So once again, you have the patriarchal supplanting of the matriarchal principles. So that's so Bel today is emblematic of a solar deity.
Okay. Now, when you read, like, if one was just to go to regular Google and just put in May Day, the first thing one would see is the word pagan. This was a pagan holiday that was celebrated during the Celtic and the Druids and things of that nature and blah, 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 blah. That's how I would read. Now, when one see the word pagan, they will automatically place it being an event that is anti-Christian or anti-something else. Could you define the understanding of pagan?
Yes, the etymology of the word pagan, pagus, which means a villager. A pagan is a villager or country dweller. So those who dealt with agriculture, you know, dealt with the earth and planting, you know, are and also the ancient the signs of planting and herbology are pagan. So being a pagan is a wonderful. You definitely want to be. We got to get back to that because of social engineering and apartheid and constructionists. The Europeans have used the topsy-turvy or, you know, distorted the word pagan in a sense since we're dealing with the word pagan and gave it a connotative meaning, this negative connotative meaning. Now, notice that this word pagan tying to agriculture, country dweller. So let's look at today. You have people going to supermarkets where people weren't growing their own crops. So the motive was to get people away from agriculture so they can control. Let me tie this in because, you know, this is great. I like to tie things in. April 1st, because April 1st was 30 days ago. April 1st, let me explain that. April Fool's Day. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't want to push that. We don't want to push April Fool's Day, and we don't want to call somebody a fool.
Absolutely
those
not.
Those who, when doing a for a royal decree in the 1700s, they were in European countries. March 21st, 22nd, was celebrated as the new year, the spring equinox. Doing a regular decree, they artificially shifted the new year to January 1st. I said artificially because you can't. That's going to be done on paper. And those who maintained the celebration and honoring the agricultural and astronomical new year, Vernal Equinox, March 21st, were called fools. So of course we don't know. We just go along and April Fool's Day. I play the fool or play a trick on somebody and not knowing the origin of that. So the key was through social engineering and apartheid is to get the society away from agriculture so they could control the society by controlling their food source. Keep in mind that cross that people wear around their neck, and that's on church buildings. It's a niometer, a measurement device. That niometer plays a huge role in feeding the world. The world was fed by the knowledge of the cross. The niometer, an Egyptian measurement tool with notches on it, recording whether it be an inundation or flood, and was placed in a shaft. So there were meticulous record keeping to predict whether it would be a flood or the famine. The lifeline of many societies throughout the world depended on that. That cross plays a huge role in society and agriculture. And they had distorted it and made it a symbol for worship. Now, let's tie that in just to talk about the motive. Mind of the Inquisitionists. Get your way to control your what they can control your food source. They control.
Absolutely, and that's taking place today. 2020 is still going on. Now, you said pagan. The true essence of the word pagan means country dweller, correct?
Uh-huh.
Now, doing okay. So, as a country dweller, those are people that's also connected to agriculture and herbologists and botanists and things of that nature. Now, you also had with that group that is now the indoctrination has shifted from being something that is connected to nature, a witch. So one would say, if you say the word witch, they would say, oh, that's pagan as well. So, you know, it's amazing how you hear these words and it's placed in the same category, but they're totally, they're not even associated with one another. So could you
Absolutely.
Help, let's define that as well. So because you're saying pagan is a country dweller, so that means that witch can't be in the same category as being a pagan, because that's like not the same.
Right. Well, so let's look at the word, the etymology of the word witch, W-I-T, which is the English form of the Latin vis, V-I-S, and in the word vision. So vis means to see or look. So wit, W-I-T, is the W, the V in Latin transliterates to the W in English. So a wit or witch is a seer. And so those witches, you know, were seers or astrologers and astronomers, but not so, but we're talking about a natural seeing. We're not just talking about, let me just clear that up though. So it does not necessarily someone has to do a chart to see. You have those who, you know, were, their pineal gland were highly stimulated. So the seeing is natural, not someone just doing a chart. It's just a, you know, natural mental phenomenon. You know, their frequency is tuned with the frequency of nature. So they're seers. They dealt with herbology. Healing, healers. The motive, once again, is to get the people away from their earth science so they can control the people. And once again, they control the food source, they can control the people. So you will always be dependent on them. So which is a seer?
Now, okay, now, I just had a moment, and it reminded me, you stated that we were once in agriculture society. So with that being said, now we have grocery stores. Now, considering that one may not have the land to go out and plant the different type of vegetation and crops, would it be also to our advantage to just start going back to learning agriculture to know what is the proper vegetations or fruits or harvest to be able to eat at the proper time, because that still have its proper place as well.
You know what? I'm glad you said that. I'm so glad to make this statement and ask this question. Excellent. And this is something that we need, that the various Moorish body politics need to facilitate in their communities, is connect with a farm and have set up lessons, at least to get the knowledge. So you have to have the knowledge to grow. So setting up even, you know, classes and workshops on growing and growth. So I absolutely, absolutely agree with that. And that can be done through facilitation and organization. Absolutely.
Because what comes to mind is the Farmers and the Witch Almanac. Now, how is that tied to the Now, I know, you know, we hear about it, but when you're so far removed from the agricultural society as far as doing it yourself, now it came to mind about the Farmers Almanac. We hear about it, and then you also, you were talking about the witch Almanac. So how is that tied to the agricultural society or just knowing about agriculture within itself?
All right, yes. You look at the starting with the Witch Almanac, it's planting by the moon phases. So let me explain the moon phases. They are four major moon phases and four minor moon phases. Now, the major moon phases, you have your new moon. So that's what's called a waxing, the womb. So during the new moon, you know, you can't see the moon during the new moon phase. And so the energy is just it's a low energy. So the energy is building up. All right, so just knowing the phase of the moon, how they operate. All right, so the moon is energy is building up, and then you have your first quarter moon, which is the second major moon phase. So the energy is as now increasing. Now the energy reaches its apex or its climax during the full moon. So you don't want to plant during a full moon because the energy is already at its apex, you know. So you want to plant where, you know, the energy is building up, and so during the first quarter moon, planting there, you know, and then definitely not during the last quarter moon. That's what it's called, a waning moon. All right, so there's not a lot of water. So you want to plant where the earth dealing with, you know, a lot of fertility and water involved. That would be during the first quarter, and then moving into the first quarter into transitioning to the full moon. But then after that, the phase of energy is waning, decreasing, waxing, build up a wax, waning, a decrease. Then you have the Farmer's Almanac. Now, the Farmer's Almanac in there gives you times to plant and times to harvest. I have they call Ben Bay, the people known as Benjamin Banneker. Now, that almanac is very extensive, not the ones you get in 7-Elevens and Rite Aid. So you just Google Benjamin Banneker's almanac. They give credit to Benjamin Franklin. No, it's Ben Bay. And that almanac is extensive, you have your moon phases there, you have your different solar phases, as well as different successional or signs that the moon, that the different moons are in, moon is in, and the sun is in. So that the Benjamin Banneker's almanac, what we want to do is actually, we can probably do this on the website, is United of Publica website, is take a page of a Farmer's Almanac and take a page of Benjamin Bay, or what they call Benjamin Banneker's almanac, so they can see the difference.
And
expensive that is. Absolutely. Okay. We need to do that. We need to get so we can raise the people's knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Now, you stated that today, May Day, is considered a mid-season point. And
yes,
within those mid-season points, they're called holy days. Okay, now, you didn't say holidays. You said holy day. Now, what is a holy day?
All right. Well, a holy day isn't holiday. The word holiday, H-O-L-I-D-A-Y. So if you know that the I and L are interchangeable, the I and Y are interchangeable. So you have a holy, H-O-L-I, and you have H-O-L-Y. So a holiday and a holy day, you know, you just the one is holiday, it's just a compound word, right? Where you have holy day, you don't have the compound word, you know. Well, the holy day is the compound word. Holiday is what they call a blending of holy and day, creating the word holiday. So let me be clear on that. So let me Let me explain this. Can a holy day or holiday be arbitrarily decided? You know, let's say, well, we're going to deem Noble Ju Ali January 8th as a holiday. That can't be. Well, in that case, everyone's solar return is a holiday. And truth, that's true. So, but to just say, well, we're going to designate so January 8th as a holiday. Well, April 10th is a holiday for me.
Right? October 21st.
Right. Let's talk facts. Let's get on the job, the emotion, and all that stuff. Let's talk facts.
Mm-hmm.
April 10th is a holiday. So in that case, everyone's soul return is a holy day or holiday. All right, so let's get down to, now let's tie it to agriculture. All right, let's get down to the holidays and holy days that deals with agriculture, dealing with the feeding of society. So we have, you know, we have December 25th. We have March 21st. We have July 4th, which is the Egyptian New Year. You have...
Oh, that's not the 4th of July?
July 4th. Yeah, it is. It's the Egyptian New Year. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Red, white, and blue. You know, that's our colors. Then you have, you know, February 2nd, Groundhog Day, which is a holiday. You have Betelgeuse Day that deals with, you know, Betelgeuse is in the constellation of Orion's Belt. They call it Valentine's Day. You have Halloween, October 31st. You have March 21st. You have June 21st, which is the summer solstice. And then you have those who celebrate the summer solstice on June 24th, what they call St. John's Day. But it's the summer solstice. St. John's Day is the celebration of the summer solstice. So you have different. You have European countries that call it St. John's Day. It's the celebration of the summer solstice too, for my Masonic brothers and sisters. All right. Then you have, let's say, September 23rd, which is the autumnal equinox. You have the December 21st, which is the winter solstice, that is the Lord's point of declination. So these are holidays or holy days that mark the seasons, as well as you have March, which is the mid-season we're talking about today. And there's three other seasonal points. So those are holidays or holy days. Keep in mind that, you know, January 1st, with Sirius is in that mid-heaven the longest, all right? So you have these astronomical markers. So we just, like you said, we are working to demystify this, you know, but to designate January 8th as a special day, and nobody, well, April 10th is a special day. Your day is a special day. All right? We're working to demystify. We got to work because it has been that Ju Ali's been mystified and worshipped, and he has been sorely misrepresented.
Now, Brother Abdullah, now how would learning about these astronomical meanings of holidays benefit our listening audience? What would be the takeaway to that?
Well, great question on that. You have people who hate each other, or they kill each other, or they make fun of each other because if they are not part of what they call, you know, someone part of a different religion, someone dealing with Islam, what they call Islam, someone dealing with what they call Christianity, you know, so you have someone who's dealing with Confucius or Zen. You know, or someone, you know, they call it the Chinese New Year or the Three Kings Day. You have the, different festivals throughout the world. And so though you have this, mine is better than yours. So by understanding, comprehending that all of the holidays or holy days are rooted in astronomy and agriculture. This religion is not taught to the masses. Mind control is taught to the masses. So what,
that's true religion.
Yes. We're talking religion now. We've been talking religion for the last 30 minutes.
Okay.
So
gotcha.
Mind control is taught to the masses. They use the cross or the crescent and the star or the swastika to draw the people. You know, they use, you know, the ceremonies or use the different stories, the agricultural stories in the Bible, but people think that it's, you know, it's a real man. Like, for example, Jesus dying on the cross. You know, Jesus kept. So they actually think that because of social engineering and apartheid, that there was a blonde hair, blue eyed man that lived 2,000 years ago that was actually carried across the Calvary and was never far. They actually think that is an historical event, that that event actually happened, that blonde hair, blue eyed carries across the Calvary, not knowing that it's the story is true astronomically, but not historically. So we don't, just hear me out, listen, audience. We don't even want to throw the story away. Like, I don't want y'all to get Afrocentric like I was. So please don't get Afrocentric like I was, meaning that, you know, that's white man stuff. That's white man stuff. That's white man stuff. That's white man stuff. You know, I'm Afrocentric. You know, that don't get Afrocentric on me. That's what I mean. I'm defining what I mean by that. Because that's how I was. That's how Afrocentric folks are. You know, they throw the baby out with the bathwater. They get so-called Afrocentric and think, well, that's the white man's holiday. All right, so the story is true. And the story is told worldwide. It's because it's an astronomical story, the story of the sun. The story of the sun dying on a cross, which is the winter solstice, December 21st, in the northern hemisphere. The sun is at its lowest point of declination. It lays in the tomb for 3 days. And after the third day, Jesus rises again from the dead. That occurs every year. December 21st, the birth of 25th, the birth of the sun. At that point, the sun incrementally, so there is, you know, you would now have a negative, so now it becomes positive. So there is a minor increase of the sun. So now from you can measure, every 7 days, there's a 10 degrees increase in the sun, and 10 degrees increase in the day. So it's a 10-minute increase in the day. And it's incrementally getting, so it's 10 minutes. The days are getting incrementally getting longer and longer incrementally. So people knowing that this phenomenon is told all over the world. Mithra, Apollo, Dionysus, Bel, Zodiacus, Jesus, Buddha, the same story. So people knew worldwide that this same story that the Europeans co-opted, the European culture bandits, and that they're the only ones that got the story, the world got the same story. I go anywhere in the world. I don't need to know the language. All I need is an interpreter. It's the same story worldwide. The Europeans hijacked it. And so how would it benefit to know it stimulates better relationships? Keep in mind what's going on now.
Mm-hmm.
Hate is going on. Mine is better than yours. You know, you have this teaching of fear. Like what they're doing with this COVID-19, the past has been doing for years. It's the same method. Fear. They'll say, I'm a God-fearing man. So now if you were, so someone says that, and they say, well, I'm a God-loving man. You just got them. Now, they're going to pause because you're not part of the club. You just said something that they never heard before. You just said something that the club doesn't say. The club says God-fearing. You said God-loving. I'm making the point is they pushed fear, God-fearing. God's gonna get you. God-fearing. So now you what? Once again, the people are groomed already. It ain't no COVID-19 started this. The pastors do this every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
No. Let's be clear. We're not going to, they just started. No. The people were already ripe for the picking. They're easy. The masses are easy to manipulate. They're ripe for the picking. I've got to make this connection. Because we don't want people to think that the fear mongering just started with this COVID-19. It's done it's been going on for 200 years in the churches, mosques, and synagogues. God's going to, come up here. When you go to people's funerals, you go to church, when they have this confessional session, see, you better come up here and get saved. You know what I mean? You get hit by a car or whatever. So something happens. So you got to come up and get saved. And say they fear you and do it. It's not about, they don't push love. Do it for the sake of love. Not because you fear. I'm going to help Shem out of love. I got to help Shem because God going to like me. God ain't going to like me if I don't help Shem. No, I'm helping Shem out of love. It's fear. That's psychology. The people are right for the picking. They're easy. They can manipulate. I'm just keeping it blunt.
You're absolutely right. Now, we talked about May Day and the connection to agricultural fertility. Now, how does one connect the agricultural fertility to oneself?
All right.
Because you talked about the moon. We talked about the ability to see, which to see or to look a seer, being a country dweller, being able to understand a time to plant, a time to, you know, harvest and, you know, things of that nature, the phases of the moon. Now, how is all this information provided, being in this current mid-season, how does that connect to oneself?
All right, great question. All right, so in my Illuminati book, Illuminati and Illumination of my book, I give to put the word Illuminati in its proper perspective. L-U-M is the root word, which means shine. IL is the prefix, which means upon, shine upon. Now, you have the sun, which is a source of energy. As melanin is to us, as photosynthesis is to the plant life, or chlorophyll is to plant. Melanin, as melanin is to us, chlorophyll is to plant.
Mm.
Photosynthesis means to put together with light. So the process that the sun goes through, that photosynthesis process, we go through that, we have that process in us as well. The sun stimulates the serotonin and melatonin in the brain, activating neuromelanin, the higher brain centers. So there is a symbiotic relationship that we have with the sun. We are sun people. We are Jesus. All right. So I don't want to be the root word, I-E, I-O, I-A. All right. I-U, going from the Chaldean, the Egyptian, the Phoenician, Babylonian, root words, and being transliterated to a modern form, J-E-S-U-S. The root word, I-E, in the word Jesus, U-S is a Latin masculine determination. Latin masculine determination means that it determines the gender, the U.S. It's O-S in Greek. But the root word is I-E. We have I-E-S was added. So I-E to I-E-S to I-E-S to E-S and to J-E-S-U-S. So now let's get into the moon. The moon, going back to the moon cycles and
okay.
the energy. So let's look at the woman. The woman is a walking calendar. She's a walking calendar. There's 13 moon cycles. There's 13 moon cycles. So you have every 28 days, the Earth, the moon revolves around the Earth 13 times. The number seven. Are there 7 days in a week? No. No. Man, Abdullah don't really know what he's talking about. Yes, I do. There's not 7 days in a week. There's 7 days in a week in a lunar calendar. That's the same thing. No, it's not. It's not the same thing. You said the same thing, Abdullah. No, I did not. I did not say the same thing. There's not 7 days in a week. There's 7 days in a week in a lunar calendar. Because to say that there's 7 days in a week, you're saying you're implying that that's universal, and it's not. You have 10 days. The Egyptian calendar is 10 days because it's tied to the deacons. The deacons, there are 36 degrees, all right? So you have a deacon, which means 10. So there was 30 markers. And the deacons were used to tell time at night. So you have a 30-day calendar, 10 days, 3 weeks, 10 days in a week. 3 weeks, 10 days in a week. So to say that there's 7 days in a week, where does the seven come from? Let me explain. You can count this. There ain't nothing to believe. It's counting. There's nothing to believe. Count it. From the new moon to the first quarter moon, there's 7 days. From the first
mm-hmm.
quarter moon to the full moon, 7 days. From the full moon to the last quarter moon, 7 days. From the last quarter moon back to the new moon, 7 days. You can count it. That's the origin, the astronomical origin of 7 days. It's tied to the lunar calendar. There's nothing to believe. It's all to count.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can take some callers here. Let's see if one have have any question. We're going to see if caller number 786-8695, you have a question for Brother Elkley Mosey Bay regarding May Day.
Oh, what's going on? This is illustrious Dr. Ingo.
Yes.
How you doing, Tamara A. L?
Yes. Good evening.
Brother
Thank
Abdullah.
You for tuning in.
Good evening. My bad.
Much power to
you. Do you have
you
a
all.
Question for Brother Abdullah?
Oh, no. I just want to say how proud I am of all the work you're doing, brother, and how you are giving us clarity. And bringing us back into the knowledge of ourselves, the world around, and I appreciate you always.
All right, thank you, brother.
Thank you for tuning in. All right, let's see if we have another caller. Let's see, 727-9921. Do you have a question for Brother Abdullah Bay regarding May Day? Don't be shy. Okay, we'll take another caller and see. Caller number 609-3741. Do you have a question for Brother Abdullah Bay regarding May Day? Question, comment, criticism? All right, I guess everyone's going to be shy this evening.
Let's see if we have someone else. because we got time.
Yes, have time. Do you have any more information you would like to share?
Let's see if we get another question in.
Okay. Okay, we have 302-0563. Do you have a question for Brother Abdullah Bey regarding May Day?
Oh, wow.
Islam.
They have that.
Islam, how are you? I'm glad. Caught me at work. I do have a question. Everything was so great. The whole message was so great. I was wondering if you can put it on record for those of us that like to carry it around with us at all times.
Absolutely. It's definitely recorded and definitely will be sent out to everyone.
Yeah, again, this is on your phone, right? Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes. So this is well needed. Some valuable information. Loved it.
Thank you for tuning in. All right, Brother Abdullah, looks like, we have a shy crowd tonight.
All right.
I know coming up we have Grand Sheikh Taj Tariq Bey, who will be airing about the next 12 minutes on how to reawaken your minds. But we just wanted to step in and give some information because, I know a lot of times Brother Abdullah and I, we sit and we talk about all these different holidays, and, just breaking them down into putting them in their proper perspective. So each time we just like to always come forth and share that information. Some people think that the wisdom should be stored up and the masses may not be ready for it. I myself feel that information should be released to the people and they'll make that decision whether they would like to receive it or put it away, and they'll pick it up when it's time for it. So I think our journey here is just to plant the seeds and let the watering take its root, or it'll just fall on, stony ground. That's what I feel about it. This was really great, Brother Abdullah, and I'd like to thank you for the invitation to come on to a special edition of State of the Nationals and help demystify and remove the spookism of May Day and its connection to its holy days, and its connection back to the astronomical and agricultural society. Do you have any final words you would like to give to the listening audience before we close out for the evening?
I have my notes. Those who know, I have books. They can go to mooresandmasonry.org for the Illuminati book, Illuminati and Illumination of the Mind, for Moors and Masonry, for Etymology and Vocabulary, for the Masonic Conference Square and the connection to measurement and timekeeping, for How Her Moon and Venus Rule. So I have also upcoming books. Tamara and I discussed my doing a book on holidays. So something that, in fact, Brother McDaniel had suggested I do that several years ago. And my schedule working these other books. But I think that's something I want to do, a book on holiday. Tamara will be laying it out for me. So we'll definitely work on that, a book on holidays.
We'll have that out by the end of the year.
Hopefully. I do Christmas in the Masonic Compton Square book. And then, of course, I have Easter, which is the heliacal rising of Venus. I have that in my explain in the Masonic and How Our Moon and Venus Rule. So I do have two holidays that are clearly extensively explained in those two books. But I want to get into the Groundhog Day and, you have Valentine's Day and Palm Sunday, Ash Wednesday, May Day. July 4th is also explained in Masonic Compass Square, chapter 5. So those three holidays, I do go in depth those. Valentine, you have Halloween, Three Kings Day, which I also explain in the Masonic Compass Square book. So I explained about four or five holidays in those books, but I can explain quite a lot more.
Yes, I'm definitely looking forward to that. And once again, you said mooresandmasonry.org, correct?
Yeah, mooresandmasonry.org, yes.
Okay, Okay, if you'd like to get the book, Moors and Masonry, Masonic Compass and Square, How Her Venus and Moon Rule, Etymology, and other books that are published, you go to moorsandmasonry.org. And you also have the contact information for Abdullah Bey. You can also reach him on Facebook of Abdullah Bey and Moors Silver Letters. Brother, I'd like to thank you for once again accepting the special invitation on Speak to the National for our special edition of May Day, the crops are coming. And thank you very much. Now, don't forget, audience, don't forget to continue to join us every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, United Republic of Morocco. Now, if you would like to be a special guest on State of the Nationals, we all have a voice and we all must share in the knowledge. You can email me at UnitedRepublicaOfMorocco@protonmail.com. We would like to have a good night. And before we leave, I'd like to just leave you with a nice tune that I incorporated. It's called Come Together. Have a good evening.